Nehemiah chapter 12, and it is there that we will look at a prayer by Jeremiah. And I like to start by saying that a lot of times we think, as we look at the or read about the work of the prophets, and we would say they had a fantastic job, that here they're giving God's word, and they go out and they proclaim it, and then we don't really look behind the scenes to see the challenges and the struggles that these prophets had in carrying out the work of God. And sometimes we forget about the challenges for elders as they lead the flock, the things that they go through and the ups and downs, as just as the prophets are human, elders are human, and then sometimes the preacher is looked upon as doesn't have any challenges, but he does as well in presenting the word of God, and he too is human. And there are times when things happen and there are questions that are asked. And I'm sure in your life you have gone through some things and you're asking questions of why is this way. And Jeremiah felt the same way. So in chapter 12, that's exactly what you see in reference to his prayer to the Lord. And the encouragement for us when you look at Jeremiah's prayer is for us to take the same action sometimes when there are questions, there are challenges that we're facing, things that happen that we really don't understand, and we ask for God's wisdom, ask for God's guidance, and try to find out answers. That's okay. And that's what Jeremiah demonstrates here in chapter 12, as he is a prophet that has been sent to Israel, in particular Judah, to proclaim to the leaders what God requires of them in fulfilling the desires of the law, and even as the enemy has surrounded them, to submit to the enemy. And a lot of times these kings did not like that, especially if their hearts had turned away from God. And what they wanted to do was establish themselves and forget about God. And they would take the attitude that those who would come and try to point out the correct way that they ought to lead the people or to make amends for the things that they have done wrong, instead of doing that and saying thank you and appreciating that, no, a lot of times they persecuted the one delivering the message. And that's what you also see here as well in the book of Jeremiah. But I want you to notice in verse 1 really sets the tone for the prayer of Jeremiah. And the point that he says, "Righteous are you, O Lord, that I would plead my case with you. Indeed, I would discuss matters of justice with you. Why has the way of the wicked prospered? Why are all those who deal in treachery at ease?" I want you to think about what Jeremiah just has done. What he's done is he's recognized that God is righteous. And it's sort of, Lord, bear with me as I plead what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and what I have observed. And I just want to know, I know you know what is right. I know what you do is good, but I just want to know, why is this the case with the wicked? Why is this the case with those who practice or do treachery? How appropriate the songs that we sung in connection to what Jeremiah is praying to God. What he's making mention to the God who's created us all, the God who has power, the God who is righteous, and the God who knows everything. And here, Jeremiah says, I just want to plead my case with you. Why? Why is that? And as you continue to see, that was a lot of the questions among those who were righteous. Job thought that as well when he was suffering. When you look over in Job chapter 21, verses 6 and 7 there, where Job says, "Even when I remember, I am disturbed and horror takes hold of my flesh. Why do the wicked still live? Continue on, also become very powerful." I want you to think about that for a moment. And I want you to think about each one of the situations. Jeremiah is asking this because of the trials and challenges that he is facing in doing the will of God. And you look at Job, who is suffering, who is miserable, and he's asking, why is this basically happening to me and the ones who do wicked, how they are getting away with this? And in fact, they're even gaining strength by it. And look at me. And those things cross our minds. I don't know about you, but it happens to me. It crosses my mind as well. And here we learn this lesson from Jeremiah of what we need to do. And just as Jeremiah is doing here, is the same thing for us to go before God and talk with Him. Lord, I want to plead my case. I want to tell you about my situation. I know you know, but let me tell you about it. And here in the case of Jeremiah, God allows that. And by the time you get through with all of what Jeremiah has done, you see the wisdom and the kindness and the reason why God allowed Jeremiah to do this. Don't you feel better when you get the opportunity to express what you're going through? It's sort of like you're emptying your chest, so to speak. You're trying to make things lighter where you can deal with them and work your way through. And God allows and encourages us to come to Him with those kinds of questions and challenges that we face. Lord, why is that? I know you know. And God is with him, and God allows Jeremiah to say these things to him. And the righteous do this, and we are encouraged to do so. Those examples that are there. You know, if God did not want them to ask those kinds of questions, you know what he would do? He would strike them dead. But he allows them to do so. And that becomes an encouragement for us. But the thing is to recognize whom we are dealing with and whom we are expressing these thoughts to, just as Jeremiah did. He says, righteous are you, O Lord. You can look at Jeremiah's life and you can tell that he was hurt. He was hurt that his relatives are against him. He is hurt that why would his people seek his life? All I'm doing is telling you good. I'm telling you on how to deal with what you're going to be experiencing by the Babylonians who are coming to take you captive. And this is the word of the Lord. The Lord is imparting wisdom to you to help you in your dealings with those difficulties that you're going to face. And God does that today in His word. God confronts us with the truth, and the truth is there to guide us and to help us and make us better, to mend us. And when those things are pointed out, the response should be, thank you. But that wasn't the response with Jeremiah. He was betrayed. Can you imagine Jesus? As he has chosen 12 men. And he has even shown them how to be fishers of men. He has calmed the raging sea for them. He has performed many mighty miracles. He has told them about the kingdom of God. And how that if they are in favor with the Lord and doing His will, and as we discussed this morning in John chapter 15, there from the passage, if you do what I say, you abide in my love. And then seeing the Lord betrayed by Judas, 30 pieces of silver, denied by Peter. Because he was afraid that he was numbered with the disciples and seeing Jesus standing before the courts and observing, it doesn't look good for him. If that happens to him, what will become of me? And yet, you see the mercy of God, even with that, giving Judas the opportunity to change. And even after betraying him and leading to his crucifixion on the cross, there was the opportunity for Judas to be even forgiven of that. But he didn't recognize it. On the other hand, Peter took advantage of it. And you see the mighty works that he did in serving the Lord. So Jeremiah is telling us, when you're looking back at these verses, go back with me to verse 2 through 4. He says, you have planted them. They have also taken root. They grow. They have even produced fruit. You are near to their lips, but far from their mind. They talk a good game, but their actions are far from it by the way that they think. But you know me, O Lord. You see me, and you examine my heart's attitude toward you. Drag them off like sheep for the slaughter, and set them apart for a day of carnage. How long is the land to mourn, and the vegetation of the countryside to wither, for the wicked of those who dwell in it? Animals and birds have been snatched away, because men have said, he will not see our latter ending. Wow. So Jeremiah is puzzled by this. But what we're seeing is this private moment that he has with God. And that's what we need to do. Have our private moment with God. And ask him. Spill it. Tell him what you're thinking. Tell him how you're feeling. That's what communication is all about. And Jeremiah does it. But what's interesting is what God does in answering Jeremiah's prayer. Look back there. Look at verse 7. God answers and says all of these things. Verse 6, for even your brothers in the household of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Even they have cried aloud after you. Do not believe them, although they may say nice things to you. And then God says, I have forsaken my house. I have abandoned my inheritance, and I have given the beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. So God is answering Jeremiah, what you're seeing, this is why that is the case, because I have abandoned them. This is what it looks like when I abandon my house. This is what it looks like when I give you over to your enemies. And that's why Jeremiah is seeing this. This is why it seems like the wicked are prospering, because God is using them as an instrument of judgment on the house that he has abandoned. And sometimes it's hard to grasp those things. But notice how God answers. For Jeremiah to understand, God is pointing out to them, especially as you continue, my inheritance has become to me like a lion in the forest. She has roared against me, therefore I have come to hate her. So Jeremiah, I want you to understand something. I am God. And by I'm being God, it does not mean that I have no feelings. It does not mean that I do not care. I do care. But I am God. And I punish those who are wicked towards me, who do not follow what I say. That's why, Jeremiah, they bit the hand that was feeding them. It's sort of like the individual who, as I said, you feed your dogs, and then one day you come to bring food to the dog, and all of a sudden he turns at you and he barks. And he barks at you with an intent to bite you. And you say, what? Are you out of your mind? We think something is wrong, don't we? God is saying, that's what happened with Israel. That's what they have done to me. Now, Jeremiah, you understand what you are going through in the betrayal and what you are going through, the hurt. Those who are against you understand. Now you know how I feel. And that gives us wisdom and helps us to realize that we need to make sure our lives are right with the Lord. And I appreciate God taking the time to explain that to Jeremiah, because it helps me. I hope it helps you. When you are struggling and when you feel betrayed, then you can come up and say, you know, that's the way the Lord must have felt when he was betrayed. And then, yeah, when I dropped the ball, yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's what you're seeing in all of this. Jeremiah, your heart is identifying with mine. Yeah. Not only is your heart identifying with mine, Jeremiah, just as you are frustrated with what you're seeing, think of how much more I'm frustrated with what I have done with these people. I delivered them from Egyptian bondage. I gave them a land that was flowing with milk and honey. I protected them from their enemies. And they turned against me. How frustrating that is. Notice verse 10, where God says, many shepherds have ruined my vineyard. Yeah, I'm frustrated. They have trampled down my field. They have made my pleasant field a desolate wilderness. It has been made a desolation. Desolate, it mourns before me. God, I hear what even the land is saying. It mourns. It cries for justice. And the whole land has been made desolate because no man lays it to heart. He doesn't do it. Doesn't realize that. Oh, God is okay. He can take it. After all, he is God. And that's what you're seeing here. After all, he is God. He can take it. Sure. Yeah. He can handle that. And so God points that out. God also points out about his own broken heart there. But yet he is still at work. He's at work on behalf of his people, not on behalf of his people, but especially Jeremiah. He's at work for Jeremiah as well. Because he's going to give Jeremiah hope when you see this. And when you drop down to verses 14 through 17, what God does is he gives Jeremiah and the rest of all of us, when we look at this, his comfort. That's why I say those songs that we sung just a few moments ago were appropriate. Love lifted me. It is well with my soul. And that's what God does when he answers our legitimate questions, our legitimate concerns, and our legitimate wanting to know why that is. It's not that I'm going to turn against you, but help me to understand. And when the person understands, it comforts their heart that God is truly in control. Can you imagine the church at Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2? Look at all the horrible things that was going to happen with them. And God is telling them and comforting them in Christ Jesus. That's the reason why the angel is there. That angel is there to comfort them and let them know, hang in there, don't give up. Because Jesus, I know your tribulation. Verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. And in fact, the devil is even going to cast some of you into prison. And then he says, you're going to be tested. You're going to have tribulation. But be faithful. And then he says in verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. How comforting that is for these folks at Smyrna as they continue to stand for the Lord. So here's the lesson for us tonight. What troubles you? What questions do you have about what's going on in your life? The lesson is, spend a private moment with God and talk with Him. Ask Him to show you. And then when He answers with you and pointing out that now you can identify how I feel. But you hang in there. Because those who have hung in there, those who have stood with me, they have been blessed. They've been blessed. Jeremiah was blessed. He was blessed with hope because when he purchased the field that he was told to purchase of something that would happen in the future, God delivered because they were returned back to the land. And the same with when you look at Paul, when you look at Peter, and all of those who had suffered, but yet they stood with the Lord, how God richly blessed them when they didn't understand. It was God who had to tell Paul, do not be afraid when he was in Macedonia, because there were many there to hear his word. And the impact of those souls hearing the truth and the joy that may have come across or in the heart of Paul, that he believed the Lord, proclaimed the gospel, seeing those souls added to the kingdom and seeing his worth in serving God, knowing at the end there was a crown of life for him as he remained faithful. Those lessons are throughout the scriptures for our comfort to meet the challenges that we face, to answer those questions of frustration that we see in this life. And I love the song that Adam led in, the battle belongs to God. It will always belong to Him. So fight with Him and you will be victorious. Talk to Him. And then let Him answer. Open up your ears to listen to what He has to say. And when His word shows you what this is all about, humbly submit. Because I always like to say, fasten your seatbelt. It's going to get good. Because that's what happens when you serve God the way that He teaches. Tonight, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, I want to encourage you that you will have hope in the Lord if you follow what He says. If you spend those private moments in those moments of frustration and things that you don't understand, spend the private moment with Him, talking to Him, and notice the impact that it will have on your life after you get through when you say amen. So be it. Whatever the Lord's will is. And God gives the peace. God gives the joy. It strengthens our heart to look forward to tomorrow for a better day. Because God is in control. And so if you have not obeyed His voice, if you have not obeyed His gospel, I encourage you to do so. So He will help you through. And what it means is simply putting your trust in Jesus the Christ, God's salvation system. Repenting of your sins, turning away from it. Because sin is destructive. Sin actually does leave a lot of unanswered questions that we may have. And there's no intention of answering them.
And the intention is to keep you there so that you die outside of Christ. So turn away from it. That's what you do when you repent. Change. And then you confess Jesus as Lord. You're going to allow Him to lead your life. Because God will answer questions. God will lead you to victory. God has prepared a place for those who are faithful to be with Him in eternity. And how you begin to reach that is by obeying, being baptized into Christ. Where your sins are washed away. And then now you are in Christ. You are of God's children. God is sitting there waiting for you to come to Him and talk with Him. And He'll strengthen you as you continue to walk His way. And at the end, the crown of life, just as He promised those brethren at Smyrna there in Revelation 2. And so if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we encourage you to come. Make it known as we stand and sing the song.